We reach out to them. And we touch people in ways that maybe we've never done before. We wouldn't do otherwise. People that we haven't touched even in a long time. Those same rough and calloused hands reach out again and hold the hand even of another man. Something we would never do otherwise. They reach out and touch the hand of another man's wife. Or the mother. We haven't held her hands in years. We reach out and touch again. When the moment of death passes, what do? We touch again. We hug, right? We hug one another. Even in the funeral, we reach out and we touch the casket. For me, personally, as a pastor, the most powerful moment in the funeral service is at the commendation. At the end of the service, at least the part in the nave here, when I reach out and I put my hand where? On the head of the casket. And we as a congregation, as the people of God, commend our brother, commend our sister into the hands of a merciful God who loves and died for them. It is a holy and profound moment. At least it is for me. In the fifth chapter of St. Mark, Jesus is dealing with a lot of sickness, and he's dealing with death. A ruler of the synagogue named Jairus has a daughter who is dying, and he begs Jesus to go to her and to heal her. And on the way, he encounters a woman who has been bleeding for 12 years. No little disease, to be sure. And oddly, this woman is healed only when she touches the Lord, just his clothes even. She's healed when she touches the hem of his garment. When they arrive at the ruler of the synagogue's house, we arrive at a scene that we know all too well in this life. There are many people gathered. And even though this happened thousands of years ago, we know instantly what's going on. We've been in that crowd. We know the painful and harrowing pronouncement. Your daughter, your brother, your mother, your loved one is dead. We know the presence of death and we know its sting. We know it too well. We know what it's like to grieve and to lose a loved one. And what does Jesus do in the midst of all of this? He comes forward and he reaches out his hand and he takes hers and says, "Rise. Rise. Rise." That's his pronouncement. He reaches out his hand and he touches. Now, Jesus has healed people in many and various ways. He has healed people at great distances. He's healed people and brought them back from death, like the nobleman's son, who was, 20 miles away, just about. So we know that his power over death and his power over illness doesn't seem to be dependent upon his location, right? It doesn't depend upon where the Savior is. He'll even pronounce healing by virtue of someone else's faith. He'll command someone to rise or an evil spirit to flee just with his voice alone, and that's it. So his presence and his touch, my point is, seem to be optional. They're optional. Not really needed. To heal and raise this girl from the dead, all he need do is open his mouth and speak it. And life would issue forth. But here he goes to her. He actually goes, he doesn't need to, he goes to her. Physically goes to her and touches her with his hand. And with his touch, stops all of the weeping, all of the wailing. The scripture says they were overcome with amazement. They were overcome. And so they were stopped. They were given pause, astounded. Death has been stopped in its tracks. Death has actually been reversed. You better believe they were overcome. You better believe they stood still in amazement because they knew this was big. It was a solemn and holy moment. The girl is brought to life again by Jesus, by his touch, and by his spoken word. Jesus shows his absolute power and authority over death. Now, on Trinity Sunday, several weeks ago, we kind of stood in awe at the immensity, the enormousness, the enormity of the Holy Trinity, of how big God is, how mysterious, that we even have difficulty comprehending the enormity of God, the immensity of the Holy Trinity. It's troubling to the soul, to the mind. We can't even begin to perceive of God with our mere five senses. But here, just several weeks later, what are we doing? We're wrestling with the closeness of God, of how close God is to us. We have a God, we have a Savior who actually comes to us and touches us solemnly, profoundly, and with purpose. And I'll tell you, isn't that just as troubling? It is to me. Isn't it much more desirable, if we are honestly admitting, isn't it much more desirable to have a God who stays at least an arm's distance from me, at least out of my personal bubble, who doesn't enter into my space, a God who doesn't speak to me as if he were speaking directly in my face with his word, who doesn't know my thoughts and desires, who doesn't see what I do in secret. One that's only in our lives when we want him to be, just far enough away. Maybe not a whole universe away, but certainly not a God who intimately can reach out his hand and touch me, whose word is right there always, to where we have no excuses for not knowing his will and his judgment. No matter what we want God to be, no matter what box, no matter what mold we try to force him into, he is nonetheless the God who is utterly near to us, who reaches out his hand and touches us, and calls to us even saying, "Child, rise up and live." Because this story in the gospel, it isn't just about some girl that Jesus brought back to life and that was that. It's not just about her. This story is about us. As Mark tells this story, it is saturated with sickness and with death. There's a father distraught over the illness of his daughter. On the way to the house, he meets this woman who's been sick for 12 years, the same amount as his daughter. And then when he gets to the house, guess what he sees? Death has beat him there. Death has gotten there first. The story has been dipped and smothered and coated and dipped again in death. It reeks of sickness and despair and grief. And the one who is dead is us. The one who is dead is us. And Jesus reaches out his hand and touches us and tells us to get up and live. And here's the question, though, the unspoken but obvious question: do we? Do we? Or do we even know that we're dead? Do we even know our condition? Do we even know that we can't do it ourselves? that we need a Savior. Do we even know that there is a lifeline for us? A life so much better if we only get up as Jesus calls us to. Because it's true life. True life. Life lived in and through and with Jesus Christ. That's the life that he calls us to, that he reaches out his hand to pull us up to. We can get so comfortable, so complacent in this life, that we think that everything's just normal. Everything's okay. Everything's just fine. We're fine. We're good. You know, that's what we say when someone asks. I did it this week. How are you doing, Pastor? Oh, I'm fine. Don't even think about it. It's our default response to people. I'm fine. We can even get comfortable in church life, shuffling along, making our way to our pew. Heaven forbid we sit in another pew. Sitting attentively, behaving, not looking at our phones, at least not more than a couple times, right? Going up for communion when it's time, dropping our money into the plate as it comes by. We're fine, we're good, we're okay. We're middle of the road. We're neither hot, we're neither cold. But we're not fine. We're not okay. We're either dead, or we are ever being brought to life in the Son of God, who is Jesus. We're either one or the other. There is no in-between. There is no lukewarm in the church. You know what Jesus did to the church of Laodicea, the lukewarm church? He spewed it out of his mouth. You're either dead in your tracks, or you are alive in Jesus Christ, constantly being held in existence by the hand of God, constantly being touched by the Lord, living lives of deep penitence devoted to the gospel of salvation. And when we put it like that, we realize that the touch of the Master's hand is exactly what we need to shake us out of this stupor, this malaise that we sometimes fall into, to awaken us out of this culture of death that we're living in, and thrust us into the divine life of this God who is utterly near to us. And so we pray. Oh Lord, stop the common parade of my coming and going. And by your touch, awaken me to your life. In Jesus' name, amen.